All right. It's been so long, I forget how we start, but this is...
That's probably how we're going to end up starting our shows.
This is Three Blind Drinks.
Who are you, Chris?
I'm Chris Retz.
I'm Jack Mottman.
And we have three blinded whiskeys in front of us that we're going to try. We also have two lovely women with us right now.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
So this is Kim Retz and Erica Mottman. And as you can probably tell by their last names, they are married to one of us.
Guess which one?
Both of us are married to one of them. That's basically what you just said.
That is what you said.
Each of them is married to one of us.
There you go.
Okay, so I don't... can you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Erica. I'm married to Jack.
I am Kim. I am married to Chris. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to throw in there that I raise humans. That's what I do.
I also raise a cat.
Ooh.
Equally important.
Raises felines, raises humans. How many humans would you say that you raise, Kimberly?
Ooh, that have emerged from my womb, 3.
Mm-hmm. That checks out so far.
That we know of.
That we know of. Then there's that one who looks like the mailman, so.
Yikes.
Awkward.
That sounds like whiskey number one to me.
All right. Should we start with whiskey number one?
Whiskey number one. Okay, so whiskey number one has been poured. Jack Mottman is the one who told me that when you smell whiskey, it's best to do so with your mouth open.
Yeah. You're supposed to get...
How do you do that?
Like just breathe in through your mouth and okay. You will also smell. Hopefully you'll get more nuanced, more accurate smelling.
It's like the double sniff. One through your nose, one through your mouth.
Yeah.
So, I think it's fair at this point to address the elephant in the room.
What's the elephant in the room, Chris?
And that is that Kim is one of my most anticipated guests, not only because she is my wife, but also because she doesn't like whiskey.
What?
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun.
Yeah, we were going there at the same time.
It's true.
And I thought, how great to have a guest who doesn't like whiskey. So Kim... When you sniff this whiskey, what do you think?
It makes me salivate in the back of my...
Oh,
interesting.
Like, under my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the smell of these things. It's kind of like coffee. I don't mind the smell. I don't drink coffee either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a strong history with alcohol in general. Mm-hmm. I didn't start drinking beer until my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've never ordered a glass of wine. I don't know.
Okay.
It's just, I'm willing to give it a shot, but you might hear some gagging.
What do you smell, Erica? You have a great palate. That's why I ask you.
It's good. Like... Corn and herbs.
Mm.
Ooh. Corny
it's
herbs.
It's got a little herbaceousness to it.
So this is, what episode are we on at this
point? Six?
No idea.
Six. Wow. Congrats, guys. That's great. Episode 6, we have firmly established how suggestible I am. So when somebody says something, all of a sudden that's like all I can smell. But I think I agree with you on the herby thing.
Yeah.
I definitely feel that. There's like this complex, almost grassy, like herby. Like, yeah.
Minty, like the stem of parsley or like some kind of green thing.
I like that.
Is like the stems.
I've heard the term new green come out of Jack's mouth.
Oh, really?
This is not new green to me.
That sounds pretty... pretentious. Jack.
I am pretentious.
He owns it. So
okay. I mean, he came up with new green.
So. New green to me is like almost nail polishy. Like it kind of has this like vibrant, stings your nostrils kind of smell. Mm-hmm. And this to me is more like flowery and like generally sweet.
So
smelling.
The first thing I smell is the thing that I now associate with scotch, which is like, and that I like to call brine, and I don't know what it is. And I'm not getting it super strong in here, but I'm getting whatever that weird, like.
So Kim just took a sip and I think we might need a spit bucket.
Wow. I was trying to do it all secretively so no one would see. And, yep.
All right. So what did you experience there?
It's hard to swallow. Just, and I'm really trying to resist a joke after I say those words.
I think we're all there.
Yep.
I don't know. It's definitely warming. I feel that, but it's just not my fave.
I mean, so one of the things we've talked about is that, like, in drinking alcohol straight like this, like, especially when it's the first taste of alcohol you've had all day, like, you're just going to taste paint thinner, basically, the first time you taste anything. And then maybe the second time it gets a little bit more complex and interesting.
What are you getting, Erica? You just took a sip. Oh, you're chewing it. You're chewing it. Oh, yeah. It's going around your mouth. Yep.
Is that a process? Is that what you do?
You don't have to. It the longer it lays in your mouth, you're going to get more out of it, but it will also sting.
Yeah, I think you can chew. Yeah, like chewing makes sense to me because it kind of just like makes it swirl around your mouth a little bit more.
It is still like flowery, or as I put it, herbaceous, but there's like definitely caramel notes like at the back.
Mm-hmm.
On the back end. So after the big upswing of herbaceous flavor, it definitely like kind of comes down and gets real like caramelized something.
You are blowing my mind.
I
do not understand this process.
I don't drink that much whiskey, but I do drink wine.
Yeah, I feel like the tasting is something you become really good at.
I do enjoy tasting and smelling things.
So there's like some whiskeys that disappear immediately for me, right? And this one, I think I agree with what you're saying in terms of like, It lingers and kind of changes a lot the longer it kind of sits on your tongue.
Yeah, it goes. I feel like you're totally right. And it's like really high and like flowery. And then on the way down the roller coaster, it like hits this like molasses, like.
Yeah,
like,
molasses.
Like cove.
Molasses Cove.
Wow.
That might be the name.
You're just so trendy, Jack. New Green Molasses Cove. Like.
That's my new development.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait, let me check. Yep. Molasses Cove is trending on Twitter right now. It's amazing. It's incredible. Erica, what is your relationship, if any, to whiskey?
Whiskey specifically, I was probably in my mid-20s when I started drinking whiskey, and it was mostly like Jameson. I think after being with Jack and seeing his curiosity grow in this, I don't know, industry, it's kind of, I've kind of seen him grow in it, and I try things kind of along the way.
Yeah.
And I like tasting wine. I like wine more than whiskey, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I have a good nose, and I like smelling things.
I feel like wine, the thing that's nice about tasting wine is it doesn't like punch you in the face with its alcohol content.
Truly, yeah. It's definitely the biggest differentiator.
Yeah.
Other than the, you know, one is grape, one is meat and or corn.
Well, but then on top of that, because of that, you can have like more of it. Like there's physically more of it for you to taste.
Oh, yeah.
And so sure, when you get a pour of wine, you get probably like 8 ounces of wine versus a 2 to 4 ounce pour of whiskey.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's cut those two in half, but yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wine is usually served, I think, in 4 ounces.
4 ounces?
And whiskey is in about 2.
That's a lie.
the large wine pour revolution has begun.
I have big wine glasses for a reason.
So when you're in your 20s and you're drinking Jameson, are you drinking it straight? Are you mixing it?
Yes. Nope. Straight.
Cool. I feel like Jameson, we've heard
it's the most common thing people start on.
Yeah. Is it affordable? Is that why?
It's affordable and it's Irish, and Irish whiskey is generally sweeter and way more approachable.
I was going to say I would call it approachable just because it's easy to say. It's not like Bunahabahane or some
which,
other.
Which, is that a real whiskey?
It is, and that's not how you pronounce it. But
when we, like 2 years ago, we were in the liquor store and she's like, anything you want, buy it for your birthday. Like anything you want in the whole store.
Because I didn't know how to go in and ask for a good whiskey.
That is a princely gift.
So I was like, I don't know. I mean, mostly I just like look at this shelf and pick one. Well, she's like, okay, we'll do that. So I picked one and it was Bunahabhain. But at the time we had no idea how to say it. And it has a lot of B's.
And A's.
And so we just started calling it Bunahabahane.
Yeah.
Way more B's than the pronunciation would suggest.
And it gives you a secret code.
Right.
You know, I feel like you could be out and about and throw that out there and sound cool because you're saying it confidently.
Right. Exactly.
I think I would choose a whiskey based on the bottle.
Yeah.
What it looked like. It's very...
Couldn't agree more.
Aesthetically.
But when you're sitting in a bar and you need to say it to a bartender, Jameson is familiar. It's just rolls off the tongue.
Yes.
Mm. Versus Bunahabahane or what's another funny one that you Lagavulin? Can't say? Lagavulin? No, Lagavulin is Lafroy always trips me up because
it's spelled weird.
It doesn't look like how it's spoken. Yeah.
I do feel like there's that moment of panic where when you're just getting into whiskey and somebody's like, oh, what kind of whiskey do you like?
Yeah.
And you're like, and then you just like name the one that you've heard of. Sure. Right. Yeah. Because you want to seem like you have some idea.
All whiskey.
Titty Rojo. That's the one.
Titty Rojo?
Yeah. Can you figure it out?
What?
Titty Rojo.
Mm-hmm.
Tito.
Red. I have no idea. What?
You're close.
Red.
Go titty, down the path.
Titty red.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so lost right
now. Red breast.
Oh.
Good. Man.
Good.
Is that one of the ones that you blinded for us? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. So Burles, you had, Kimberly. You had, Kimmy.
Wow.
You had your first beer when you were 30.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Why not have a beer before 30? That's part one of the question. And part two, why then, having waited until you were 30 to have a beer, why have a beer?
Well, I did not ever immediately appreciate the taste. And so I thought, why spend money on something that I don't like?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very fancy ordering a Shirley Temple and asking for it in a fancy glass.
I love that.
So that's what I would do.
Awesome.
And maybe we can blame three children. I don't know.
on the deciding to have a beer?
Yes, yes. I think I started with some tasters, some little 4-ounce little guys.
Yeah.
And it was never like, oh, it's a hot day, I really need a cold beer.
Mm.
But it's more of a like, I'm ordering a burger and a beer sounds great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So I tend to go for the wheat beers, the Hefs, the 805s of the world. I'm still not very brave, but I can successfully consume 16 ounces in one sitting.
It's fantastic. I feel like there's some interesting tasting notes in a Hef, or there can be some like interesting like fruity / floral things going on.
Sure. Yeah.
And again, you get to drink more of it, right? So there's like more tasting to be had.
What is with you in quantity?
Well, I'm just saying like, you know, like you can't taste this forever because you will stop having any sort of sense whatsoever if you know.
And yet, you have to savor those smaller tastes,
that's
which
correct,
allows you to sense more flavors in there.
Yeah, I think it makes you try harder.
Well, it makes you try harder. Yeah. It makes you drink slower. I'm not going to guzzle what's in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though you both have already finished yours and I still have some left. So well, if we're ready to move on,
you're showing,
I can do that.
You're showing much more restraint.
Someone help me out here.
I think you're right though. Like I actually think the tasting is, well, I don't need, okay. Kim just poured her entire glass into mine. I do think the smaller the sip, the more you can kind of taste it. Like if you kind of flood your mouth with whiskey, it's overwhelming. Just, but if you get just a tiny little bit in there, then it's easier to kind of discern the different levels and things.
It's made to savor. It's not made to, what's it called when you stick a pen in a beer and then you open it and then you go like
chug?
Crazy.
Shotgun?
Shotgun.
Mm. Oh.
Whiskey is not to be shotgunned. Correct. Also, they're in glass bottles for this reason.
What about shot, though? Do people do whiskey shots?
Yeah.
No.
Like, do the frat boys?
Ooh, differing opinions.
I mean, I've never done it.
Lies.
Yes, I have.
No, I've done, like, other shots that are weird colors or that are flaming or whatever, but you don't do shots with, like, good whiskey.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like,
right.
Even Jameson, I would say, no, I will have that neat, please, because that's not something that I want to, like, throw down. I'm not here for that.
Yeah.
Can we talk about etiquette for a minute?
Sure.
Do people slurp? Like, are you supposed to have that, like, the wine or the tea, and you kind of have that, like, that maybe didn't translate well, but... Yeah.
No, I
or
get it.
Are you supposed it's like to just right, which drives me insane.
Let's set up this question with a bit of backstory, Kim.
We don't need to.
Oh, backstory is interesting.
All right.
May I
know, but I do really want to know. Is there a way that you're supposed to drink it?
Let's use that as a tease to keep the audience engaged. Let's move on to the next whiskey.
That's good. Yeah, whiskey number two. So we've poured the second whiskey.
This is so much more bourbon-y.
Sniffing.
Pungent. It stings the nostrils.
I would call this briny.
Yes. Way more than the other one. Agreed.
Okay. Oh.
Olives and paint.
Yeah.
Agreed.
This isn't bourbon at all. I just said that because I wanted to be funny. I was wrong.
That was funny.
Wow.
Is this what he's like with children? He just patronizes them all the time.
So you're getting a pretty accurate representation.
Patronizing children is one of my favorite pastimes. So briny, this... So if we were going to put it on a scale, I would say brine level of the last one was like a 2, and this one is like a 7 or an 8. It's like, it's very briny.
It lingers. It's like up in my nasal cavity right now.
Yeah, I'm getting like all brine on this one. Like none of that forward, like that sweet, sweet caramel forwardness.
I'm getting like southern barbecue.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a charcoal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Smoky.
I feel so fancy that I just said that.
You're on point.
Wow. See?
Yeah. Smoky. It's smoky.
So Jack, are we thinking this is peat smoke? Or just kind of smoke?
No, this is like hickory smoke.
It's
this
not
is
peat
like
smoke.
Barbecue-y, like... smoky.
Yes, absolutely. I like the hickory thing for sure.
Well, it makes me think of ribs.
Yes. Yeah, it really does.
Now I want ribs.
How great to be chilling, just waiting for your ribs to cook, and you're just sitting with a glass of whiskey, watching the ribs.
Sounds
cook.
Like a dream.
Yeah.
I've never cooked ribs.
In your lifetime?
Does the crock pot count?
Yeah,
of course.
Okay, then I have totally cooked ribs.
I actually don't know if I've ever cooked ribs.
Like, you got to get a smoker, I feel like, if you're going to legitimately do this and sip your whiskey and appear uber classy, the smoker's the way to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was Chris's second sip.
Wow, so I just took a sip, and that is by far the smokiest whiskey we've had on this show, I'm pretty sure.
That wasn't me.
It is.
That was Erica.
It was. So, like,
it's got some fire on it.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
It is.
It's probably watered down.
It's very smoky.
Here's something to try. Add some water to yours and see if you get to a place where you like it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. You can do it slowly. Like, you can add a little bit and keep adding more, or add a lot just right away, whatever you want.
You know what I've been doing since this podcast started, like 3 months ago or however long it's been, is adding a single ice cube.
Oh.
And then it just, like, it kind of makes it a little bit more cool, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kim?
Still no.
took away my sounder for a minute. no, I don't think.
You're not a whiskey gal.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is totally okay. Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Now, if you had to choose one, granted, you're not a fan of either.
Setting me up for success.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not a huge fan of either. Let's say someone was like,
let me save you. One over two so far.
Because it's sweeter.
Yeah.
And it's less smoky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
I concur, doctor.
I like number two.
You would.
I do. It's good.
It's also very distinct. Like, there's something to be said for a whiskey that, like, I would never mistake this for something else. I don't think I've ever had a whiskey that tasted this smoky.
Really?
No, I feel like I've had something like
this. What about the after show brimstone with Paul?
I don't remember it.
He just did the slurp thing again.
Yeah. We recorded the first episode, Chris is like, we need more slurping sounds. I'm like, people don't like that.
No. Jack, you are wise.
Okay, he keeps doing it, though.
So the way you heard me just drink my whiskey is the way that I also drink my tea. It's the way that I drink my wine. And it's the way that I drink my coffee.
What about ramen?
I think you kind of have to with ramen. Like, you don't really have a choice. It's just physically.
It's at least expected and culturally.
Oh, yeah.
Relevant with ramen, but.
Right.
He claims to be aerating it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, people who do this for a living, they say you're supposed to do that kind of thing to get more air into the liquid.
So I've mentioned before that I was a Starbucks barista. I like to pronounce it barista for a while, for 5 years or so. And I went through like the coffee training, and they say when you drink it, you're supposed to slurp it. And the reason you slurp it is because it introduces air into your mouth and into the coffee, and it awakens the flavors.
I think that's bullshit.
There's a cabal of people that really want to annoy the rest of the population, and they slowly raise up and tell everyone else to do it.
It's the slurping cabal. Slurping cabal. I have another question. We never got an answer on the slurping. What do you guys think? Whiskey drinking etiquette, slurp or no slurp?
I don't care. Like, you could do it if you want.
If the person you're drinking with says, could you please stop doing that? It's probably best to.
You should be nice.
Yeah. Are you telling me I should be nice to my wife?
I mean.
Yes.
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 All right, so here's one. Kim, mentioned...
Wait, what was the question we left off on? Was that the question?
Yes.
Okay.
That was slurping?
It. Oh, that was, man, it. I got lost there for a second.
That was it. I'm because back. Because it's something I now do, like I was trained to do at Starbucks, but it's something I now do without even thinking.
Everything.
Mm. Yeah, and I don't even think about it anymore.
It's become a part of your routine.
And yes, and so it's invisible to me. Completely not invisible to Kim.
And I make sure to point that out. Yeah. Always so graciously.
No, I mean, that's actually a real thing. There's something called misophonia, where if people are easily annoyed, or in some cases it can even be a migraine trigger with people's chewing sounds or slurping sounds, any sound emanating from the mouth. And my friend Amanda has it. She cannot go to the movies anymore because of the popcorn.
Oh.
She can't do people with chips or apples or carrot sticks. None of that. She also has 3 children, and I have no idea how she lives day to day with this.
Wow. That's amazing.
That would be very challenging.
So, I'm super impressed that you know that. You sound like a a doctor or something.
I'm not a doctor.
Okay. B, I wonder if you should get that checked out, Merles. I mean, Kimberly.
I'm not concerned about it that much.
Because I can just stop slurping.
You can't.
But can he really?
We're not sure yet. The jury's out.
Yeah. I do, now that you mention it, remember the brimstone.
Ah, you do remember it now.
And it was very smoky.
Yeah. Well, after we pressed stop on the recording, we basically drank the entire cupboard. So
yeah,
it's hard to remember what happened even.
Did shenanigans ensue after that?
They definitely ensued, okay. Yes.
Drink responsibly, ladies and gentlemen.
Uber more.
Uber as much as possible, yeah.
And don't forget your freaking wallet.
Yeah. Anywhere, everywhere, Chris.
When they're not striking. This is super smoky. That's all I can pick up. Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody else picking up anything else?
Is the... what if you were going to name this guy, what would you name this whiskey?
Smokestack. But no, because it has to have some... I think Kim was really onto something with, like, the barbecue.
Yeah. It's like that hickory smoke or whatever it is.
What's, like, a quintessential barbecue name? Yeah.
Rudy.
Rudy.
Rudy's barbecue?
That makes me think of football.
Willie.
All right.
Smoking Willie.
Smoking Willie. Smoking Willie, I like a lot.
Done. Done and done. I love it. That's great. You mentioned beer and you mentioned burgers. I'm curious. Maybe we could go around the table. What other food beverage combos are y'all fond of? Hmm. Beer and burgers is one for me. Pizza and burgers is one for pizza and burgers.
It's like, yeah, pizza and burgers. I'm on board.
Pizza and beer is one for me. Like, there's something about eating pizza that I'm just like, oh, it'd be great to have a beer right now. I don't think
that's surprising to anybody. That's a classic.
Yeah, that's combo. Good.
Is it because of like the carby, wheaty, like there's the bun on the burger, there's the crust on the pizza. You want to like complement it with a wheat.
I think it's Merca.
It's our patriotism is what you're saying.
Possibly.
Okay, what else? Anybody?
I mean, like red sauce pasta with red wine.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And then like we make like chicken piccata with white wine. Like that's amazing.
Sounds good. What about
Jack cooks mostly.
So between the two of you, Jack is the cook.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, I taught him everything that he knows, but he has now expanded upon it, which I deeply appreciate.
The student has become the master.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's great. What about with whiskey?
I like burgers with whiskey.
Oh, that's good.
I don't particularly enjoy food with whiskey. Yeah. I love food. Don't get me wrong. Like,
that's a long pause. Yeah. No. That I know to be false.
It's true. I love food. Yeah, no. I love food. I just don't like food and whiskey paired together. I think that's weird. If I'm drinking whiskey, I want to be able to taste the whiskey. And I feel like if I'm eating something, it's going to take over or affect how it tastes.
Aren't there things like whiskey burgers? Like, do you prepare food with whiskey?
Oh. Yeah.
Sure.
Like, there are sauces you can make, like a pan sauce with whiskey.
Like whiskey barbecue.
Yeah.
Totally.
Whiskey barbecue sauce.
Which this would actually be amazing in.
Because this would be great.
Would be great in a barbecue sauce.
Because like, it's so smoky, mm-hmm. right?
Like if, you know, we end up... Wow, words are hard. when we go eat food...
Smoking Willie gotcha.
I've been smoked.
I was fine before Smoking Willie got me.
If we go get food, we should go to the barbecue place.
Oh, yeah. We could.
And just take this with us. We'll sneak it in.
Yep. It's actually called Max City Barbecue. Plug.
Yeah. Okay. It's good.
In Eagle Rock.
Free onion rings. Did you hear that?
JK, I don't know about that.
Awesome. I also feel like I agree with you on most whiskeys, but I also feel like this one could hold its own against like a barbecue burger or something.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like if you're going to have a whiskey with food, it can't be very subtle. It's got to be like pretty intense and
Big
and bold. Flavors. Yeah. Bold.
So I'm going to stop using the word brine because it's clear that it's become a catch-all term for something I can't describe that's a little bit different than what I'm expecting to get from a whiskey, which is like...
Do we have any olives in the fridge? Because I feel like if we just gave Chris some straight-up olive juice, he will understand brine.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we do.
Let's do it.
Can we get some hold music while Jack's fetching the olives? Oh, no, just own it, you guys. I was going to go
Jeopardy hold music?
I was doing I Dream of Jeannie, but...
Oh, and I was doing... What was I doing?
You were doing
Can't
The Hustle.
Can't remember now. Oh, yeah. and you were doing Jeopardy.
Jeopardy,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is a brilliant psychological test. There's
what
almost...
song, though, does everyone sing? Like, you know, it's your birthday. What do you sing? Hap. They didn't fall for it.
Happy birthday?
No. As Chris is sipping straight up olive juice, I would like to tell Jack that a pirate walked into a bar with a ship's wheel in his pants. And the bartender said, excuse me, sir, do you know you have a ship's wheel in your pants? And he goes, "Arr, it's driving me nuts."
So I did take a sip.
That was a full, like, 10-second delay.
Can you edit it to make it longer?
Yeah.
Just to, you know.
Shut up.
Brain work.
Wait a minute. Ship's wheel pants.
So after tasting the actual olive juice, Chris, does that help you understand brine with the salt and the...
Totally. Like, and I don't think I'm way off base, but I do think it's difficult for me to distinguish between brine and smoke because they're very similar. Oh, wow. They're very similar.
But there's
similar
an ingredient called liquid smoke.
We that have
is
that
very
too.
Different.
Correct. Yeah. Ooh, let's add liquid smoke to the brine.
Yeah.
No, that's going to confuse everything.
Ooh.
You need to do it separate.
But so I do think, like, I feel like now that I've tasted it, and it tastes way more smoky than it smells. I can't even taste brine anymore in this. All I can taste is like, it kind of feels like I'm just like breathing in by a barbecue grill. Mm-hmm. Which is a wonderful experience.
Without damaging your lungs.
It's just not briny.
This like now, this smells like barbecue now.
All right, so now we're doing science.
I would like to smell this.
We've totally gone Science Channel.
Whoa,
now.
Whoa, it's sweeter though.
Yeah. Okay, so what
we've
done.
It's like that barbecue sauce smell.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so what we've done, what Jack has done, I can't take any credit for this, is he has poured olive juice, like straight up olive juice, into a lovely little
it's a cup
drink glass. What do you call those things? Like the fancy drink
like
glasses.
A tumbler?
A tumbler. No. What do you call that?
Oh, you're just like, talk about belaboring the point.
There's a name for it.
Just
anyways,
drink it.
And then he has dropped some liquid smoke into the olive juice.
Is that drinkable?
Yeah. It's just powerful.
Okay.
Whew. It is powerful.
Kim, you didn't taste it. You just smelled it.
I just smelled it.
It's a different kind of smoke, but I do think there's a little brine in the whiskey we're drinking, and I think there's a lot of smoke.
Like honey barbecue.
Yeah, it's like honey barbecue.
What are we calling this one?
Smokin' Willie.
Smokin' Willie, okay. And I feel like we kind of ran over the name of the last one, which was Molasses Cove?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. So number one, Molasses Cove. Number two, Smokin' Willie.
All right.
You're not ready for this.
Should we go for number three?
Let's do it. All right, so now we all have whiskey number three. By the way, the color on all of these is essentially identical.
Mm. Absolutely.
I would say, like, our Infinity bottle is the darkest thing on the table.
Totally is.
And one is maybe slightly lighter, but the other two look exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would want to call this like kind of neutral whiskey color. Like any lighter than this, I would be like, "Oh, that's a really light whiskey."
Right.
You know,
this is canonical whiskey.
Come again?
Canonical whiskey.
Go ahead and Merriam-Webster that for me.
The best example of?
Okay, I'm on board.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, you know, I've seen whiskeys that are, of course, much darker as well. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've seen some whiskeys in your day.
I've seen a whiskey or two at this point in my time.
So what are we thinking for smell?
It's sweet. This is like corn and like sugar, like burnt sugar.
Yeah.
Burnt sugar doesn't smell good, though.
So the smoke is gone for me.
Yeah, there's no smoke in this. And we also like are aware and like acknowledge that like tasting things back to back in an order also affects you. So
sure,
like having the smoky one second makes this one is always going to smell less smoky.
Mm-hmm. And we also kind of notice an impulse within ourselves to name the third whiskey we drink. Okay. All right.
Sorry.
No.
What's happening over there?
Yeah. Tell us about it.
I just sipped it.
And?
It's hot. It's got some...
Ooh, like spicy hot?
Like, no. Like,
okay.
Like, hot. Like you can feel it.
Alcohol hot.
You can feel the alcohol coming off your tongue.
Interesting.
Kim is not going to like this one, but it is sweet.
This is really sweet.
It's vanilla-y.
Caramel.
I wouldn't say that the nose is alcohol forward, per se.
I do not understand that. What does that mean?
Like, when you smell it, you're not like... Woo! Alcohol, paint thinner.
I disagree.
Know? Okay. All right.
It's
That's right back here. Yeah.
Mm.
Kim is indicating the back of her throat. Right?
Yeah.
Has everyone tasted?
I just did. I think it's really sweet, really nice. I think it's a classic bourbon taste.
Oh my
gosh. What makes a classic bourbon?
Brown sugar, caramelized apples, and cherry.
Oh, I see what you mean. Hot. Oh, it snuck up on me.
It does that.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah.
And I agree. It is quintessential, I would say. It's very smooth. It's like almost buttery, but not in flavor. It's got like a pretty soft mouth feel for me.
It's got some heat on the back end. Like it after you swallow and then it's like you want to breathe fire.
Literally on the back end. Like it kind of hits you in the back of your throat for some reason. As opposed to like burning your tongue or your mouth. I feel like it's really soft and velvety up front. But then once it hits like your throat, it's got some...
I'm getting like tinglies where it was. Like on my gums.
My tongue.
And on my tongue.
Yeah, I feel that.
Oh, it's so interesting.
I don't get that at all. Like it feels like you guys are experiencing that at an 8, and I'm experiencing it at like a 3.
Maybe your tongue is dead.
Kim would posit that such is the case with me and like spicy foods. She's like, the reason you enjoy this is because you've deadened your mouth inside and you can't taste anything.
Which
and
also so, does happen as you get older. My dad can't taste anything, so he puts hot sauce on literally everything.
Wow.
It's disgusting.
Okay. Well, and I think you lose the flavor then of the meal because you're
but
just masking
it. But he can't taste
it
anyway.
Well, that's true, I guess.
If you can't taste anything and all you can taste is hot sauce, and hot sauce goes on everything.
That's what you do.
Yeah, you just love hot sauce at that point.
Maybe that's what I should get him for Father's Day.
Yeah, hot sauce.
Ding.
So I want to talk about complexity here for a second.
Okay.
I don't feel like this is a particularly complex whiskey in the sense that like what it tastes like 10 seconds after I took a sip is pretty much the same thing that it tastes like immediately after I took a sip. Doesn't like change for me.
Yeah.
But it lingers nicely. Like it stays for a while. And then like the mouth, I keep going back to mouthfeel. Like it just feels soft to me. Hmm. It's like a silk sheet on my tongue or something.
Freshly shaved legs.
Yes. In freshly washed bedding. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm.
That's a magical thing.
Oh, that's what this whiskey is.
Have you been shaving your legs and I don't know about it?
Do you have silk sheets?
I think I'm going to start both those things as soon as possible.
I'm just like imagining Chris walking in and Kim's like,
So tell me about your day.
So I had this whiskey. I might have had a little too much of it. And one thing led to another. So I was mentioning that... you know, I think there's this psychological impulse to immediately label the favorite final whiskey the favorite. I like this one the best, I think.
Wow, you're going there like right away.
Yeah.
You're throwing down the gauntlet.
I think I am.
Do you have a favorite, Erica?
Number one.
Number one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one is it's fine. It's doesn't for me bring anything special to the table. As you said, it has like pretty much the same flavor all the way through, except yes. for that like very like high alcohol that's coming off the tongue at the end. And one was just nice. It was sweet. It's complex and easy drinking. And number two is just smoky, which I don't personally like, but I understand if you like smoke, it could be your thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Jack?
Yeah, number two is my favorite for sure.
I knew it.
Like, that's my kind of, like, I think if I had to guess, number one is a scotch, number two is a scotch, number three is like something else entirely. Mm. Like
a bourbon?
Like a bourbon or a really pot stilled Irish. Like there's something about it that's like completely different.
Yeah.
I think it's number three is tasty, but it's not like blowing my socks off. It's just fine.
Oh, confirmed. Yeah. His socks are on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely very straightforward, number three.
Yeah.
I think this is one that if I was like just kind of having a friend over for whiskey
mm-hmm.
who wasn't like a whiskey connoisseur, I would be like, here, there's a whiskey.
Right.
You know? Which I like about it. I like that about it.
Surprise, surprise. I would not order any of them.
But of the three, if you had to choose, which one would you choose?
Why do I have to choose?
You don't. But if you had to, could you or do you? Well, it's clear you don't like the smoke.
I would say number one.
Okay, cool.
I think it's the least aggressive of the three.
Aggressive is a very profound word to use with whiskey. See, I feel like number three is less aggressive.
It's too hot. It's leaving my mouth tingly.
On the back end.
No.
Like up front?
Wherever it touched in my mouth,
It
was tingly. And it's gone now. But the smoke of number two was too overwhelming.
Yeah.
And distracting. And keep what in your mouth?
That's what she said.
Over there?
I wanted Jack to keep the whiskey in his mouth a little bit longer so that he can feel the tingle on the tongue.
Yeah, I get what you're talking about. Like, it is definitely more assertive in its alcohol. Like, it, whatever it is that, like, makes that tingle. But for me, it's like the tingle and the brown sugar kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So like the more it tingles, the more brown sugar I taste. So in a weird way, it's like tingle sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You're nuts.
That's the best. That's like chili pepper sauce or something like that.
Oh, Chris, have you ever had
sweet
green
chili sauce,
peppercorn, anything?
Oh. I don't know.
You would know if you
had
it.
I don't think
the
so.
The numbing peppercorn?
No.
It makes your mouth numb.
Because it's so hot?
No.
It's like it's a chemical painful. Reaction, and it like numbs your mouth.
Is this like what? You can buy this anywhere?
You can
Szechuan,
buy this.
Chinese Szechuan cuisine has green peppercorns in it.
Okay.
And so like if you get, you can get it. What's the place? What's the famous place that we went to? Green peppercorn, Szechuan cuisine.
Okay. Awesome. You heard it here first.
Numbing your mouth.
Wait, but so is that a good thing?
Okay.
Some people like it. Jack enjoys
I like it because it's
being
weird.
In pain.
I just like the experience.
Yeah.
Does it give you any indigestion?
No.
No.
It's not really spicy. It's just strange. Like, have you ever, like, okay, Novocaine your mouth, right? Like at the dentist?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
So like. So with that experience, you like have the Novocaine, wait 20 minutes, they drill, you're like, I don't think it works yet. They come back, they give you another shot. Like it's this long thing where this is like, you eat a piece of chicken and you're like, why does my tongue feel weird?
Then do you proceed to like chew your tongue while you're eating your food?
It's not numb in the Novocaine sense. It's like the tingliness.
You maintain control
Yeah.
of your mastication.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Which is key.
Yeah, maintaining control of your mastication. I mean, that was my sophomore album.
I'm just saying you don't want half masticated food.
Or half masticated tongue.
Yeah. Either of it.
That sounds amazing. I want to try it immediately. Okay.
It's weird. I mean, it's weird insofar as that I didn't grow up with it. Like, I think people that this is normal, they're like, yeah, there's nuance in their flavor. For me, it's just like, what is this strange phenomenon?
Can you taste things less? Like,
after you eat green peppercorn?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's numb or because yeah, I think it's part of the thing.
It definitely affects the taste of things you have after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not for the faint of heart.
What about the thing you have during?
Yeah, I think it definitely changes.
Yeah. That's interesting. We should bring in some green peppercorn and have it before tasting whiskey and then just
that would just be so weird.
Have the green peppercorn episode of Three Blind Drinks.
I'm glad we're not on that episode.
I'm also glad it's not pleasant.
You don't like it?
I really don't.
I know.
Cool. Sounds amazing.
Cool.
So everyone knows now about the infinity glass that lies before us, which has representatives from all of the whiskeys we have partaken of. Should we pass around a little taster of infinity to see?
Do you add this week's to it before you taste?
No, we're going to taste it as it is so that we can try to add to what we think will be the best.
Oh, you just choose one to add.
Yeah.
The winner
chicken dinner.
Got ya.
The winner or the one that you think will improve the taste of our infinity glass or send it kind of like in the correct direction.
So I just took a taste of our infinity bottle. There's a little bit of like cherry brine.
Cherry brine.
It's like sour cherry.
Yeah.
Plus brine.
Try it or no?
Let's see. I did different. Wear my brave pants.
This is like a little bit like.
Ooh.
It's like. It's like olives and cherry and like mint gum, like spearmint. Huh. It's a weird combination.
Oh, it's hot.
That it I don't is. Know that I like.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a little strange.
I mean, we do have how many whiskeys in there at this point?
A lot.
Probably eight, right?
At least eight.
I don't know that would sell.
I don't know if we're going to sell it. Chris likes it. Look at his face.
Is there much that Chris doesn't like?
No.
I agree on the cherries.
I've only found one thing that Chris doesn't like.
I think I only know of one thing. Is it going to be the same thing?
What's your one thing?
Same time. One, two, three.
Cottage Sierra cheese. Norte.
We were close.
Pretty much, yeah.
He is a very easy person to prepare food for if I am the one preparing food because...
Doesn't matter.
He is not picky.
Because I've killed my taste buds.
Right.
With hot sauce.
And I'm an excellent cook, but...
And whiskey. You are an excellent cook. I agree on the cherries, but it's like weird cherry. You're right. Yeah. I don't
know
if it's sour.
Hot tamales. That's what I.
Oh.
I taste hot tamales.
Oh, yeah.
Like the candy.
Mm-hmm.
The candy hot tamales.
Like the cinnamon-y ones?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
So what do you want to add to our hot tamale combination?
The olive juice.
Do you want to add more hotness with number three?
This is kind of weird, and we should definitely tread lightly. Like, heading into this, I was like, there's no way we're doing number two because it's so smoky.
Yeah.
But now, after tasting it, I'm like, what if we just put a little number two in there? To just, like...
Give it some more weird?
Well,
like,
just
you're
like,
saying embrace the weird, or are you saying, like, it might balance something out?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, give it a little bit more, like, backbone. Does that make sense? Like, right now, it just tastes, like, kind of, like... obscure.
I wouldn't throw anything in there that's like fruity.
So
like you need to need a different flavor.
So if we're ruling out three because that's too fruity.
I think it has to be two.
You want it to be definitive versus subtle?
Well, the too many what they have right now is like too many subtle things all together, so you don't really get anything great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what I'm saying.
I'm with you.
Is like
all right.
There's so much going on. It's like, I don't know what I'm tasting right now. All right.
So like last time or two times ago, I had Chris add to the infinity bottle.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Lesson learned.
He's got a heavy hand.
I'm a heavy, I do a heavy pour.
Is that a fat joke?
It's not a fat joke.
It's a joke.
Is there any other kind? All right, what do you got?
I don't know what that did.
Really?
Maybe you need to put more in.
It didn't add much smoke. I was really worried that it would like
be too much.
Too much, but it maybe did give it a backbone.
Better?
Like, I feel like it rooted it in a really strange way. Like, it gave it something to stand on.
For real? Is this just, like, psychosomatic?
Probably, yeah.
I totally get the smoke. It's not, it's, I think it's subtle. Perfect.
It's not heavy-handed at all.
No. If I had poured it.
Yeah. I want to try
it's
again.
Better than the last one. Yeah.
If I had poured it, it would have been heavy-handed. Yeah. I think you did the perfect pour on this one, Jack.
Yeah, it's still got that kind of cherry funk thing that's weird.
Yeah.
Did we name number three?
Oh, we didn't.
Guys.
Drop the ball. Sorry.
We've got Molasses Cove.
Molasses yes. Cove.
Behind door number two, we've got Smokin' Willie.
Smokin' Willie.
And number three.
Ivan the Terrible.
Ivan the Terrible?
Yeah.
Is that because it's terrible?
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But you can feel like choose something else.
We said something that was like, it's escaping me.
Aggressive. I think it's like kind of quintessential.
Yeah.
Like when I ask for, without being like Jameson, don't get me wrong. I really like Jameson, but when I take a sip of Jameson, I'm like, this tastes really good. I wish that it tasted like a more expensive whiskey. Does that make sense? Like, I wish that
it's
it
very simple.
Had a less of the like alcohol forward, you know. I feel like number three has and this is a very untrained palate speaking, but it has like, yes, this is whiskey without like the strong alcohol kind of like tinge. It's more just flavor.
Oh, what did I said? Stingy caramel.
Stingy caramel.
Or stingy brown sugar. Something like that.
Yeah, because you guys got the stingy.
You guys were heavy on the stingy.
Tingly.
Yeah. Tingly brown sugar.
Tingly okay. brown sugar.
I like it. Is that and okay? Jack and I are dead inside.
Sounds kind of like a prostitute name.
Well, they all sound a little bit like a prostitute name.
Smoking. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Smoking Willie is right. clearly a prostitute.
All right. Do you want to find out what we drank?
Let's find it out.
This is my favorite part.
Time to call Billy.
Hey, we got you.
Hey, Billy.
Hi.
So we have just finished your tasting.
All right.
Do you want to hear what we called them?
Absolutely.
Number one, we are calling the Molasses Cove.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we are calling...
Smokin' Willie.
Smokin' Willie.
Yep.
And number three, we are calling
Tingly
Brown Sugar.
Nice. And in addition to the names, how did we feel about them?
So my favorite was number two because I like smoke. Erica's favorite was number one. Kim, who doesn't like whiskey, said, if I had to pick, and Chris was like, you got to drink this, otherwise I'm going to like do terrible things to the world because I have a nuclear bomb or something. She would pick number one.
Yeah.
And Chris would pick, I forgot.
Number three.
All right.
Pretty middle, well, like pretty even. I think number one and number two are both scotch of some sort, although I wouldn't be surprised if number two was like a smoked American whiskey, and I think number three is a bourbon.
All right. So the first one, assuming they're in the correct order, which we can verify, is the Cardinal Scotch Single Malt 12-year.
Okay. Wow.
Well done.
that makes sense.
The second one is the Lafroy single malt 10 year.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Okay.
And number three is the Nika pure malt 12 year.
Oh,
actually, not technically a 12 year because it's 12 plus.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what that means?
Do I know what that means?
Like, why do they say...
They don't mark it as... I don't think it has an age statement on it, but it uses only scotches that are whiskeys that are 12 years or older. I think there are some 14s and some 16s mixed into the blend.
Okay.
So it's at least 12 years.
Guesses as to the theme.
All right, go through them again. Number one.
Ooh, that's tough.
Can I take out the bottles?
Yeah.
Number one is the Cardew.
Cardew, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in here.
Number two is Lafroy.
12, 10, 12, okay.
Are these all scotches?
And number three is the Nika.
Nika is Japanese.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we have the other Nika over there.
I don't know. So Cardew.
I will give you an advance. This takes a lot of whiskey history knowledge.
Okay. Is this about the guy from Nika who went there and got upset and like blah, blah, blah?
It involves him, but it's not about him.
Tell us the story of the guy.
It's right, a great story. Awesome.
The more properly, this week's theme is women of whiskey.
Oh.
The Cardew Scotch. Cardew was founded by Helen Cummings. And she was famous for being super good at avoiding alcohol taxation. And tax people would come around. She would disguise her distillery as a bakery and then serve the tax people tea.
Nice.
She's also supposed to have carried a whole bunch of scotch like under her dress in like big bags to like get it around town without being seen with it.
Wow.
I found this quote in the 1983 Whiskey Encyclopedia that described her as a most remarkable character and woman of many resources. She possessed the courage and energy of a man, and in devices and plans to evade gougers, no man nor woman could equal her.
Wow.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
Billy, were you thinking of me?
So, she was the founder, but she didn't own it.
Okay.
She was basically the person who ran it. But Bessie Williams is the only woman to own and manage a distillery in the 20th century, and she owned part of Lafroy for a while.
Nice.
Interesting.
She basically took a job there as a typist, a summer job, and worked her way up. And then, so when the owners died, he gave her like a pretty substantial share of the business.
Wow.
Cool.
And then for Nika, Rita Cohen is the wife of Masaki Tatsuru, who's the guy that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And she was the Scottish woman who decided to marry this Japanese man who had come over to learn how to make scotch and then immigrated with him to Japan and then lived there with him in the middle of World War II. So you can imagine being a Scottish person in Japan in World War II.
Wow.
Probably not a super easy thing. But she gave him the financial support to get Nika up and running and was supposed to have just generally been a boss and awesome person. And she's known as the mother of Japanese whiskey.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a good theme.
That's an amazing theme.
I figured for the wives episode, we might as well do a tribute to famous women in whiskey history.
I love that.
So good.
Perfect.
Billy, that's awesome, man. I love it.
Yeah. So, and I figured, given the audience, there's probably no chance I was going to find whiskeys that appealed to everybody. So we just went entirely for the story.
It's a good story.
Those are great stories. It makes me like each of the whiskeys a lot more than I already did.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you guys. I'm going to get back to my Hawaii vacation.
Yeah. Enjoy Hawaii.
Enjoy it, man. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. I am so impressed about the history. Do you do this every week?
No.
Where you talk about...
Well, Billy always picks a theme, and Billy likes to research, so...
Yeah.
He picked a really great theme.
He did.
It's a great
theme. I'm impressed.
Maybe the best one he's done thus far. Well done, Billy. And the whiskeys were uniformly delicious, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I need to look at this bottle to see which one's the prettiest.
Why? So the Cardew 12 year was the one that was number one. Was so smoky.
No, that was number one.
Oh, that was number one. So the Laphroaig.
Ooh, that's a good bottle.
That's a good bottle.
That is a nice bottle.
That's Cardew's got a nice bottle.
The Laphroaig is the one that was like super smoky.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, do we assume that's all the barrel?
No, that's peat smoke.
Okay, so how do they introduce? Remind me how they introduce peat smoke into the finished product.
So, as I understand it, you have to get the barley when it's Scotch. It's barley usually. Mm-hmm. You have to trick the barley into sprouting.
Okay.
So you trick it into sprouting. That's why it's called a malt, because barley means malt, I think. And then
I think you just made that up.
Yeah. And then you have to stop it from sprouting. So in Scotland, traditionally, the way you stop it from sprouting is that you smoke it.
Wow.
So
that's great.
Some people just used indiscriminate heat. Mm-hmm. And if you use indiscriminate heat, you can like, so just like a warm like floor that like newer distilleries will just use like a heated table to stop it from sprouting. Whereas the traditional way is to use peat smoke, which is in abundance. Peat is in abundance in Scotland.
Right.
So then they smoke that and use the hot smoke to stop the barley from sprouting.
Hmm. Wow.
And that's where that smoky flavor comes from. So a lot of the island peat, you'll get Laphroaig, Lagavulin, and like Ardbeg or Achtermore. Or like Boonehaven, the one we were talking about earlier, they're an island Scotch, but they don't have any peat smoke. So they're more briny, your olive juice brine and salty air.
Mm-hmm. Totally, totally. Which for me was a little hidden behind the smoke, but yeah, still there for sure.
Yeah.
And then this Japanese whiskey is super fascinating to me as well.
Right. And so we had Nika last time or two times ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the coffee still, which is invented by an Irishman. It's a certain kind of still. And this is their pure malt, which is a blend of their different malts.
Cool. So delicious. So delicious. All right. So I don't know if we're doing this anymore, but are we doing parting shots, parting glass?
You call it the wrong thing.
Last drinks. What are we calling it now?
I don't know, but you change it every
parting
time.
Parting glass.
Parting glass.
Parting glass. Are we doing it?
Sure. Why not?
All right.
I mean, I don't think
we can cut
we
it.
We need to make Kim drink anything that she doesn't.
No. This is just your final thing you want to say.
Oh. Yeah.
Your sign off, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for looking out for me, though.
You know,
I'm pretty committed to my Pop Tart going on.
All right. So are we making Kim drink more whiskey?
No. Ready?
No, so Parting Glass is named for the famous Irish folk song. Is your last words that you want to say for this episode?
Oh. Chris, do you have a parting glass?
I'm very impressed by Kimberly Dawn stepping up to the table, trying something that she knew she wasn't going to like. And indeed, after three shots of whiskey, she still doesn't like whiskey, correct?
That's generous. They were sips. But thank you.
She knew she wasn't going to like it, and yet she stepped up to the table and she gave it a shot. And I think that's cool.
And she got a Pop-Tart.
A shot. I did get a Pop-Tart. Pop-Tart is much better.
Pop-Tart is the reward. Try something you are convinced you're not going to like. That's my parting glass.
Erica, do you have a parting glass?
I guess I would just say I'm really impressed with Billy's research, and I feel really excited to learn more about women in the whiskey industry. I think it would also be really cool if we could get some lady distillers in here, represent.
Heck yes.
Yeah. And these are some great whiskeys. So.
Agreed.
Kim?
Yes. I would say that although I didn't appreciate the taste of the whiskeys, I do appreciate the history and the story that comes from behind these specific choices for today. And it possibly makes me appreciate them more.
Of course. Yeah, that's great.
Jack?
You know, I say the same thing basically every time, which is how can three brown liquids always taste so different? So that's pretty lame.
It's true though. Like three, not just three brown liquids, but three brown liquids made out of roughly the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're all made in the Scottish style, which is kind of incredible.
It's amazing.
I guess I want to leave you with, oh man, I hope something would come in my brain when I started that sentence. Don't be afraid to raid your pantry and taste and smell things.
Ooh, that's great.
I like that.
Erica has been like just such a proponent of like, no, go see what that smells like. No, go smell that, taste that, see what we can do with that.
I mean, how are we all supposed to know what new green smells like if we never smell new green? That didn't work as well as I was hoping it would, but you guys get the idea.
I think it's great. I love it. I agree.
And this is also something I talked to Chris about. He likes movies and books and whatnot and reads reviews. And I do not support the making a decision on whether you're going to like something or not based on someone else's review. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I think it's important to make your own decision after you have experienced it.
Yeah.
Know thyself.
Try for yourself.
Position.
Thanks for listening, gang. As always, drink slowly and get to know each other.
Cheers.